I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
All right, it's Touche here in Monday Night here, 720 WG on the download. In studio tonight, Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling, as they are every Monday night, to discuss national politics. Touche.
Touche.
Discuss is a nice word. That's the gentle word.
Discuss.
Discuss.
Yeah, we do discuss. We always discuss.
You always
quietly, low-key.
Where do you want to start?
Why don't we start with the budget.
Let's start with the budget.
Let's talk about budget.
I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been the Washington Post today, said both the Democrats and the White House are claiming victory on the budget. Chris?
Totally wrong. Fake news. The White House did not win really almost anything here. This was Paul Ryan fumbling. You know, you hand the guy the ball on the 7-yard line. You say, okay, the end zone is right here. And he finds a way not to fund the wall, not to fund the sanctuary cities.
Sounds like a Bears running back.
Quiet. He's funding Planned Parenthood. He's funding NEA. He's funding NEH. You know, why do we even elect these people? Why do you even have majorities on both sides of the Capitol Dome if you can't get anything done?
What would the White House...
David?
What would the White House... claim victory on was the idea that they
on the military.
Oh, because they got rid of the sequester.
Yeah,
which Democrats were opposing getting rid of the sequester. Really?
Well, the Democrats under Obama had never gone along, but now, I mean, look, I'm not saying that that's a big victory. I said that basically Ryan capitulated, but what he's putting out is I've increased funding for our soldiers. God bless him. And, you know, we're happy to see that. But that's so much less than what we hoped. We on the Republican side. David's probably licking his chops.
David, is it a win for Democrats when it comes
to... You
know,
Justin, I'm licking my chops.
excuse David while he licks his chops.
No, Donald Trump is a horrible negotiator. I don't know how this guy survived in the real estate business, because he got nothing. He proposed a budget that was draconian in the extreme. I'm going to cut the EPA by a third. I'm going to cut the National Institute of Health, because, of course, we don't need health in this country. I'm going to build that wall. Remember, build that wall? We're going to build that wall. Well, there's nothing in here for the wall. The National Institutes of Health got a $2 billion bump. EPA was not cut in any material sense. I mean, on priority after priority after priority, you know, they didn't defund any cities that do sanctuary cities. I mean, literally nothing he said he was going to do got done in this budget. And so this was a stopgap budget, but it begs the question of how they think they're going to do any better come the next full fiscal year.
Well, that's what I was
going to
ask. I mean, as it is a stopgap, we'll revisit this again. Why does he not get these things? You say it's Speaker Ryan. Why is he not getting the things when he puts it out and everybody seems to know that's the direction he wants to go?
I don't think Ryan honestly, I don't think, despite the fact that he's been in there for a while, I don't think Ryan has his footing. And I don't think that there is a real sense between the White House and Ryan of what the agenda is. I think that the very clear contract with the American voters that Trump enunciated during the campaign, laid out a legislative program. Now, you know, it makes people like David go crazy, but I mean, let's just stick with the facts here for a second. Trump said, here's what I'm about. This is my first 100 days. That never, as I said before, that was when he and Ryan were having a spat. Mm. They weren't talking to each other. Ryan was disinviting him, et cetera, et cetera. So that didn't really mesh, okay? The gears didn't really mesh on that. And I think we're still seeing it. And it is frustrating as all get out to folks like me. And I think more and more Republicans are saying, what the heck is going on down there? It looks like Charles Schumer has a veto over Republican legislative.
I don't agree. I think that it's the Republicans who have a veto over Republican legislation. What is fascinating here. Thank you. What is fascinating, we should name our segment that. What is fascinating here is that you look, you know, under Obama, in the first 2 years of Obama, when they had the House and the Senate and the White House, Republicans kept saying, oh, you know, Democrats could do anything. Democrats could do anything. Democrats would say, well, whoa, whoa, we don't have a real veto-proof majority. We don't have a working veto-proof majority. Republicans would say, oh, you whiners, you could do anything you want. Well, guess what? Welcome to the Constitution. It doesn't quite work that way when you have people within your own party who don't agree. And we're going to talk about healthcare in a minute. But, you know, on the healthcare thing in particular, you've got moderate Republicans saying, no way, I'm not signing on to this horrific healthcare program. It doesn't accomplish what we promised, and it just hurts people.
Well, we'll get to healthcare. I am interested in the media interviews that President Trump had over the weekend, one of which he said the Democrats are just an obstructionist party. They get in the way of everything. They are the most obstructionist. They're in the way. They are standing in the way of anything. I mean, does he recognize the fact that sort of like the minority party always gets that obstructionist label? Or is there something to be said about that, Chris, that the Democrats are just not really looking to move the country forward?
I don't think something like 28 bills were passed and sent down to the White House and presented and signed in the first 100 days. And people don't talk about because they're not earth-shaking legislation. So there's stuff that has actually gone through Congress. I made the point over the weekend with some friends that I think Democrats were obstructing appointments, like in the case of the cabinet. In almost every cabinet member's case, Democrats used parliamentary maneuvering to extend the period, and that is certainly their right, and it's unfortunate, and that's where things are these days. And I also will say that Trump is way too slow in appointing people. We don't even have an Office of Personnel Management director nominated. And here we have to defund the left by cutting off the public employee unions. And every day is going by here and we're not making any progress.
Yeah, the good news is that because the Democrats use the obstructionist tactics to slow down the cabinet nominations, Republicans had that extra time to be able to prepare appointments that they immediately unleashed. Oh, wait, no, that's the parallel universe. Trump doesn't know how to govern. His party doesn't know how to govern. They, you know, day one or day 50 or whatever it was, they fired all the U.S. attorneys in a big show. Okay, we're going to fire all the U.S. attorneys. And you would think if you were going to fire the U.S. attorneys, you might have one to replace. They have nominated of the, I forget how many U.S. attorneys in this country. They've nominated a grand total of zero U.S. attorneys. I mean, these guys haven't nominated the most basic positions within our government.
Actually, here in Chicago, I ran into one of the highest ranking political people in the U.S. attorney's office. I said, well, Mr. X, what do you hear? He said, nothing. Nothing.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, my guest tonight, of course. It's Touche Monday nights here on The Download. We'll take a quick break, and we got to come back and talk healthcare. The thought is that there could be a vote to repeal Obamacare this week. We will talk about what's in this version and whether or not there's political capital to get it through. A lot of things coming out of the White House that are different than what's happening in Congress, I think speaks to the same question we were just talking about and getting on the same page with the Congress and the White House. All right, so we'll continue the conversation here on The Download. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
It's The Download. 720 WGN. Touche. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in studio tonight, as they are every Monday night. Healthcare. Has President Trump learned from the first failure on repealing Obamacare? Will we see something new this time around?
No, he has not. Chris is going to give me grief because he apparently thinks
you
that...
You ignorant slut!
Thank you, Jane. I was waiting. I've been waiting, by the way, for like a year and a half, 2 years.
I've never said that.
For somebody to actually say that.
I'm
glad it was you who said the words
ignorant slut. And I don't think you're a
slut.
Jan, I want you to know your husband's not a slut.
Thank you. So... thank you.
Moving on.
When is the LGBTQ segment?
Trump has not learned anything from the first failure, as is evidenced by the fact that he keeps promising things that are not actually in the bill. So today and over the weekend, he kept saying, absolutely, pre-existing conditions must be in that bill, and I'm going to support that. And they're in that bill with a couple of minor problems. One, you get a waiver. States can get a waiver for the pre-existing condition. And two, and probably most importantly, under the current Obamacare, you cannot charge somebody more if they have a pre-existing
condition.
And
it seemed that Trump...
He got that from Barack Obama. If you want your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your doctor... Obama kept saying things that were not in the bill that never got into the plan. And look where Obama ended up. David worships at the Obama altar every morning. I mean, my God, he's more devoted than most Catholics I know. It's unbelievable. And now he's attacking Trump for doing the same thing Obama did, lying about the gosh darn program.
Thank you for admitting that Trump is lying about the health care bill.
He's not lying. It's just that you don't understand what's in the program. And I want to tell you, here's the big difference between then and now. This is not legislating. And that's the thing that they have to learn.
What does that mean?
Here's what that means. Nothing that passes in the House of Representatives is necessarily going to get into the U.S. code, because you have to go through something called the Senate. And after you go through the Senate, then you go through another institution, which is known as the Conference Committee. In the Conference Committee,
I'm just a bill. Together,
yeah. You legislate. They legislate. I have had weekends of my life spent in conference committees in the House and in the Senate. And that's where they actually write the bill.
So it doesn't actually matter what they pass in legislation?
What is being said now is about what can get a majority now in the House, what will be said in the Senate, what gets a majority in the Senate, and what is said in the conference committee is what can get a majority on both sides.
Can I just say, are you worried that moderate Republicans are backing off the plan? Are you worried that, I forgot the senator, the congressman who said, I'm out.
Repeal and replace is doctrine, and it will be fulfilled.
Repeal and replace is doctrine, and it won't be fulfilled because they already have 22 no votes, and they can only afford 22 no votes. Look, I have to tell you, as a Democrat, I hope, I pray this Congress passes this piece of garbage legislation, because if they do, we will take the House. As Michael Steele just said on MSNBC, the former party chair, the politics of this suck for the Republicans.
I'm telling you, if they don't, David, I think, is whistling past the graveyard. He wants desperately to take the House. I know that. But the fact is that if they don't repeal and replace, they will lose. If they repeal and replace and we get some job creation. And look, the big story last week politically was in the first quarter, we had paltry, unacceptable low levels of growth. And that's it happened on Trump's watch. So I'm going to assign that to Trump, just to try and be consistent between allocating blame to Obama and to Trump. Trump cannot have that. And I believe, and I said last week, that's why they announced the tax thing so hurriedly, because they knew on the inside what the numbers were going to come up
and
with.
And as I just said, I mean, it also makes it feel like they can push it because they're like, we need to get some growth going. So
it's actually politically timed. And a lot of people like me, these are the same people complaining about Paul Ryan. Where is the tax program? Why is the tax program not on the table? What is going on with the tax program?
Can we talk about the tax program, Chris?
Let's talk about North Korea.
Because that tax program that Trump proposed is out. First of all, it wasn't a program. It was a one pager. But that one pager is awesome for me. I have my own business, so that means I get to lower my tax rate from the 30%+ range to 15%. Rock on. I get to eliminate the alternative minimum tax. That's going to save me several thousand bucks a year. I got to tell you, that Trump tax plan is awesome for Dave Lundy and his family. Unfortunately, it's not awesome, I guess I should say, for my children, who are going to be saddled with the extra debt from this outrageous. Trump has said he doesn't care about the deficit anymore.
He said that in the campaign. Why are you just waking up now? What is the problem? You need a clock radio.
Democrats balance budgets. Republican break budgets.
Come on. Republicans have been in love with tax cuts since John Fitzgerald Kennedy taught us in 1959, 60, 61, 62. And so we learned, and Reagan applied. And guys like David will say to the fare thee well that revenues went down. They didn't go down. Revenues went up in the Reagan era because of the tax cuts. And David, what
just
did
not
you say
as much as spending.
At noon on Friday, what announcement did you make? I know it's off the record, but I'm going to put you on the record right now. What did you say at the Lundy lunch about aileron communication? You are
hiring.
Okay. That is the Trump plan. You cut taxes and people start hiring. You are an example.
Because I have a millennial that quit too early. It's the Trump plan. Oh, my God.
You are becoming the Trump example.
There you go. Now I get some energy going.
Can we get to North Korea?
Yes, we are hiring. Aileron is hiring. If anybody is interested, let me know.
Two minutes on North Korea, because we've talked North Korea the last 3 weeks. What do you want to add to the story?
I want to say on Friday you saw real leadership from Rex Tillerson and the United States of America at the Security Council, where they were putting together a real case using the institution in its best possible way. And that was undercut today when, off the cuff, President Trump says, Sure, I'd be honored to meet with Kim Jong-un.
Use the word honored.
What the heck does that mean? Unless that's been coordinated with the Chinese. We won't know for maybe months or years. Who knows? But that was a truly odd thing that he said.
Yeah, but it's not coordinated with the Chinese any more than inviting Duterte from the Philippines, who is literally a murdering thug who has murdered thousands and thousands and thousands of his people who are accused of having something to do with the drug trade without trial. No, this is a fact, Chris. This president is sucking up to the most vile, murderous dictators on this planet.
That was Obama. Obama sucked up to the mullahs. Obama sucked up to Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, and to Maduro. Obama sucked up to Cuba. Obama did nothing for the Cuban people. He stood with the Castros against the Cubans. You talk about thousands and thousands of people murdered.
I think you're smoking that legal weed because you are insane.
Not only do I not take false drugs, I don't even smoke.
How did Obama suck up to Hugo Chavez? You guys just say that.
It was the first three years of his administration. He did everything. You go back and read Mary Anastasia O'Grady in the Wall Street Journal, and you're going to get educated. You're going to find out something about it. You know, it's really, I'm looking forward to it.
I love how when I live through periods and read the news and I'm a voracious consumer of news, Chris likes to say, oh, no, that never happened. What you just said never really happened.
I want to tell you.
You're good at that.
Barack Obama supported Hugo Chavez diplomatically and economically, and that spread upon the public record. Obama was supporting the mullahs. Obama did not confront Assad.
Ding, 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 ding. The bell has rung. Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy, another rousing edition of Touche here on the Download, 720 WGN. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling. Till next Monday.
I hear you got a great segment coming up.
Yeah, it's good.